for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Thursday evening, May the 24th, 1990. First service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook, Jack Harris, and Brother Trotter are speakers on this tape. This is one of two of the evening service.
First of all, he said, pray for those that are in authority, those that have rule over you. Heavenly Father, we pause to give you thanks tonight. We pause to express our gratitude to thee, O Lord, that you have allowed us to assemble this night here at Lake Hamilton. Lord, we pause to invoke blessings upon the leaders of this nation, Lord, upon the President, the Vice President, the Senate, and the Congress, Lord, and right on down to the municipals of the city, Heavenly Father. And we invoke blessings upon all the spiritual leaders throughout the land, great God. I pray that you would enable the spiritual leaders to act like spiritual leaders, Heavenly Father. Amen. That there might be more distinction between the spiritual leaders and the politicians is what we are asking for, O Lord. And with your help, we'll find mercy and obtain grace to accomplish this, great God. We know that it is a perilous hour, but we bind all the satanic spirits right now that would come against this meeting, would come against this ministry. And when I say this ministry, Lord, you understand that I mean everything that will transpire here. We invoke choice blessings for the staff at Lake Hamilton. And invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people tonight that are under the sound of our voice. We pray, Heavenly Father, again, that you will make us conscious of your presence throughout the entire meeting. Oh, we'll come right into your presence. We'll approach the throne of grace. The Shekinah glory of the Almighty will enshroud us, and we'll know the truth that we are in the presence of the Almighty. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, may Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then had the streams overwhelmed us, and the waters had passed over us, and the proud waters had gone over our soul. But thanks be to God, he didn't give us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who is he that can be against us? Hallelujah. Ah, yes, when God decrees a thing, it comes to pass, doesn't it? Thank you, Father, for all of your workings with us. For all of the workings with the inner man, Lord. Oh, thank you for all the direction, all the guidance, all the protection. You're not only our creator, but you are our preserver and keeper alike. And we are very conscious at this moment that we are in your presence. In your presence. In his presence. There's fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures of a mower. Oh, what a visitation God is giving to the elect. What a visitation God is pouring out on his people. Hallelujah. Just last night I was in the service and the angel of the Lord appeared and for two, maybe 3 hours, it was just a holy awe. It was kind of a fearful thing. You don't know what to do. You have to listen intently. Hear the voice of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. For God is, oh, the cloud is moving. Yeah. He has set watchmen on the wall. And when that cloud would begin to rise, they had trumpeters all over, but the watchmen would shout down, God is rising! Trumpets, hallelujah, amen. And if you didn't move with the cloud, you didn't have no air conditioning the next night. And it cut your water off, too, because the rock went with the cloud. Amen. Hallelujah. It's called the move of God. Amen. Let us move with God. Thank you again, Heavenly Father, this wonderful gathering together.
Let's sing it again. The cloud of glory is moving.
And you know what? He was the most spiritual man on earth. Doesn't the Bible say that? And, you know, we don't like to hear that scripture. If we suffer with him, we were going to reign with him. Well, how many want to reign with him? How many don't want to suffer? We don't really know exactly what that means, suffering with him. But we love him tonight, don't we? And there's not very many people here. Maybe we can ward off that fear spirit about the floods in Hot Springs. I told Glenn this morning if they play that tape one more time, excuse me, with that truck coming down, bobbling around like a match, and that woman hanging onto that light pole, I'm going to scream at the TV. Because we've gotten, I'd say, dozens and dozens of calls from all over, people that's had reservations, and some people have canceled, and some that canceled came anyway. We prayed against fear every day. You know, fear is a terrible thing. It's the opposite of faith, and I'm telling you, we need to be fearless warriors in these days, don't we? I just bless all of you, and let's just bless the speakers that are going to speak. We can't have them all speak tonight, but let's just silently just praise the Lord. Lord, we praise you for all these people that have come from many states. Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for hungry hearts. We know, Lord, when we are hungry, you're going to feed us. And Lord, we thank you for the bread of life to come forth tonight from anyone who speaks here tonight, that the bread of life will flow. Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your healing power. We thank you, Lord, for your delivering power. We thank you, Lord, that you're alive forevermore. You have the keys to death and hell. We praise you, Lord, for your victory when you came out of that grave. And Lord, tonight, we just commit this whole service to you and the days to come. Lord, we thank you for all the people that are traveling that will be arriving tomorrow and tomorrow night, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for sending those that you want here. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Brother Tommy Cook, he hasn't been here for a while. He's one of my favorite preachers, and I was about to give up on him, and he called the other night, and he said he was coming. Come up here and greet the people and say whatever you want to say. Well, he always has about 3 Bibles and about 16 yellow sheets of paper. There they are.
Well, it's good to be here. I was in, let me just hold it here. I was in Oklahoma. Brother Johnson was preaching Sunday, and the Lord spoke to me to come tonight. So I'm going to Illinois tomorrow, so we were glad just to come and be in the service with you tonight. I want to share a scripture with you. Is that all right? Let's turn over to the book of Revelation. Just a couple minutes here, and I'll be through. Revelation 21. Now, I need to clear all these papers out that Irma's talking about. Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse 27. The Lord said, "And there shall in no wise enter into it," that's the city, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written," come on, help me now, "in the Lamb's book of life." How many know that our names better be in there tonight? Then look in chapter 22, verse 14. I want to give you 2 scriptures here and then take you to Psalm for just a second. Verse 14. "Blessed are they that do." Without him we can do nothing. Amen? He said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments," those that practice the commandments, the sayings, the words of the Lord, "that they may have the right or the privilege or the authority to something. The tree of life." How many know the overcomers have the right to the tree of life? And then he says, "and they may enter in through the gates into the city." How many gates are there? 12 gates, which speaks of divine government. How many believe that God has a people going to enter the city? How many believe that we're the city too? Hallelujah. We are the Lamb's wife, aren't we? We're part of it anyway, I'll put it that way. But there is 12 gates. There were 12 pearls. There were 12 angels. And we know that over the 12 gates, look back in chapter 21 there, look at verse 12. He talks about this city, "had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." So to teach the 12 gates, you have to teach the 12 tribes. And you go back to Genesis 49, and you pick up the 12 tribes. First tribe was Reuben. "Behold the son." But how many know he was unstable as water? And as you and I come to Christ, we're bathed in Christ, we're unstable as water. Amen? And you go right through all those sons, and the last son you come to is Benjamin, which means the son of the right hand. God has a Benjamin company coming forth. Amen? God has first fruits coming forth. God has a sheaf of first fruits that's going to be waved. And that word sheaf means a handful. And we know that Elijah asked the servant to go up and see if he saw a cloud. And he went 7 times, and 7 times he saw a cloud coming out of the sea the size of a man's hand. Hallelujah. There is a hand minister rising. Praise the Lord. It's got the glory of God coming out of humanity. And it represents to me first fruits, the sheaf, before the abundance of rain that was to come that Elijah saw. And God has a first fruit company coming forth in the earth. in not just in one place, but around the globe. Can you say amen? God sent me to Iceland recently to preach on the kingdom to the people in Iceland that many had never heard the kingdom word, Brother Jack. We had a glorious time there preaching the kingdom of God. Now, one other scripture. Look in chapter here. Look at this chapter in verse 21. Look at verses, chapter 22. Look at verse 15. I want to give you this scripture, one in the Old Testament, and I'll be quiet. Verse 15. For without the city are what? Come on. Dogs. Did you know there's some dogs around? Paul said, beware of dogs, beware of the evil workers, and the concision, which is the false circumcision. And speaks of a lot of other things. But there are workers of iniquity, but he said, beware of dogs. He said, without the city are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and so forth. Now go over to Psalms, please, with me. Psalms 56 or 59, somewhere through here. And I want to give you another scripture before I sit down here. Praise the Lord. Look in chapter 59. David's praying to God, Lord, deliver me from my enemies, from the workers of iniquity. They lie in wait for my soul. Look at verse 6. Now listen to what David says. They return at evening. How many believe we're at the evening hour of this age? They return at evening. The enemy doesn't give up easy. Can you say amen? They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Now notice where they're going. They're going around the city. Now Revelation said the dogs could not enter the city. How many know we're like a city set on a hill, come on, that cannot be hid? And so he said, the dogs go around the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. You identify a dog by what he says. How many know there's some mad dogs? There's some little ones and big ones and ugly ones and pretty ones. But you identify a dog by his mouth. And David said, they belch out their mouth. How many know we're not talking about puppy dogs tonight? We're talking about tools of the enemy tonight. And he said, swords are in their lips, for who say they doth hear? Now, come on down to verse 11. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power, and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth, and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying. Then he says in verse 13, notice what he says. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Verse 14. Now notice this verse again. And at evening let them return. So here it is again he's talking about. They're going about the city. Now verse 15. Listen to what he says. Let them wander up and down. Now there is your vagabond spirit. There is your wandering spirit. There is your gypsy spirit. How many know there's a lot of Christians that have got a gypsy spirit in them? There's a lot of Christians, come on, that wants to be a vagabond and run here and there, and God's not sending them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And David said they wander up and down for meat. Now, what kind of meat does a dog like? Well, we know dogs will eat about anything. But one of the things the dogs like is Jezebel. Hallelujah. I mean, the dogs ate Jezebel. That's the meat they like, that harlot system. Come on, they like to feed on the harlot. And so it says that they go up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. There's a grudging spirit. Now look at verse 16, what David said. No, let the dogs bark. Let the dogs howl. He said, I will sing of thy power. And I will sing aloud, hallelujah, of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God, listen to this, God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So let the dogs howl, let them bark, brethren, but let us who know God tonight sing of his power, amen? Let us sing aloud, God is our defense. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. And when Israel came out of Egypt, I mean, oh, that God shut the dog's mouth at midnight. Not a dog wagged their tongue at midnight, the scripture says. Listen, God knows how to shut Rover's mouth. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
He knows how to clamp that mouth shut. For 400 years, listen to me, they had come against God's people, and God's people had been in bondage and under the hard taskmasters, and the dogs were barking. But when God's time for Israel to come out, God shut their mouth. Hallelujah. And God's able tonight to shut his mouth. Can you say amen? Amen. So when they start dogging, barking, just pull out an Alpo label and say, here it is. Dog, have it. Glory to God. God's able to deliver us from the dogs. And you'll read Psalms 22. Jesus prayed to be delivered from the dogs. How many know it was the dogs that crucified him? Come on now. Praise the Lord. I don't know what I'm getting on the dogs tonight. Hope that everything don't go with the dogs. But I'm glad to be here. Praise the Lord. You know the dogs don't like this kind of meeting here, do they? Amen. They're barking tonight. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad to be back at Lake Hamilton, and I'm glad God sent me back tonight. So we've been going other places and preaching, so we covet your prayers. God bless you. Amen. Yes. Yes. The Lord speaks. Yea, the Lord speaks again. The Lord reveals himself in the night season to his people. Know that thou hast come to the night season. Thou hast come to the end of the age, saith the Spirit of the Lord. But know at this time, I do raise up a strong and a mighty people. I do raise up a people that shall know my name and my nature, saith the Lord thy God. For I dwell in the midst of my people. And this is the night, saith the Lord, that I speak understanding to your heart. And with all you're getting, the Lord says, get understanding. For surely this is the time that you must hear and hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. For I brought thee from far and near, saith the Lord, that you may hear my voice and know my word in this hour. For truly thou art moving towards midnight. And I say, midnight is coming. But I say also, there is a mighty move of the Lord coming. There is a mighty people coming in the earth, saith the Lord. So yea, do not hide thyself, thy light under a bushel, as it were. But I say, be you accounted in this hour, and stand up and be accounted for the Lord. Because if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Karamandele baba sondele bebe kiatandele baba sandele bebe kiatara baba korra bahaya. Handele baba siatara baba kandele baba ka. The Lord said, lift up your hearts and lift up your voice to the Lord. The Lord said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. For surely the Spirit of the Lord shall speak to thee. The Lord shall speak through thee. And yea, this is your hour and your time to stand up, saith the Lord. It's your time to praise his name. It's your time to work the works of God. For in this hour thou shalt see the work of the Lord. And thou shalt see the hand of the Lord moving on the left and on the right. For yea, I shall not forget thee, saith the Lord. I shall not forget thy faithfulness and thy obedience unto me. For truly this is your day, this is your hour as you move in thy God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to ask Brother Harris to come up here and take the offering, Glenn says. I hope we have some ushers here tonight. You're talking to Jack? Oh, are you going to come up? Okay. Brother Jack's going to take the offering. I always feel when Brother Jack gets here like I used to when Brother Trotter's father used to come to the Illinois camp meeting when we were young kids. We'd always hear the grown-ups say, well, the camp meeting is starting now because Brother Trotter's arrived. And you knew he was there when he arrived. He was kind of noisy, wasn't he? I mean, he knew how to talk, and he knew how to preach, and he was a wonderful minister of God. And we didn't know him because he was a little boy when we were courting each other, Glenn and I. But praise God, he has come. But Brother Jack's going to talk now, and then the Trotters will.
Praise the Lord.
Come up.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I'd receive an offering, go to the expense of the meeting. To begin with, I just would remind us to give liberally to the Lord. There's nothing. Many of us here, so if everybody will just get the biggest old bill you got in your pocket and drop it in this offering plate. If you want to make a check, you can make it LHBC. I know what the BC's for. Let's see. okay. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. That kind of short circuits it. And we'll turn it to Brother Glenn, and he'll administer it wherever it needs to be administered. He's very good at that, and a very conservative man, and Irma too. But Glenn is a good businessman as well as a good spiritual leader. I've often said I'd just like to have Glenn just to run my personal business, save me some money, and I could go to Europe and not have to worry about it. Well, thank the Lord. That's the way that the Lord's people are. Now, I was thinking of, before I take the offering, share one passage of Scripture with you in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul comes through and finds this little group or church, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, and they said, well, we hadn't so much as heard there be a Holy Ghost, and we haven't been taught to receive it or not to receive it, or if we don't know nothing about it. And the story goes on that the Apostle Paul told them about the Holy Ghost, and while the meeting was going, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized. And then it says there were about 12. Now, I think that means there were exactly 12. I mean, if I've got 12 people, I could say there's 12, or I could say there's about 12, but be assured I'd know there was 12. there may have been several things that gave the apostle a hint here that there was something like in here. It was in the days when the Holy Ghost fire was being poured out, and God was adding to the church daily as many as should be saved, and all of the churches were growing. Paul comes through Ephesus and finds this little group of 12. And he says right away, hey, something's wrong around here. I know what it is. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has, praise the Lord. The Lord saith, I have not called you to be a statistic on somebody's roll book or for some organization or denomination, saith the Lord. Neither personality or would-be personality, but I've called you to be partakers of my divine life. Therefore, you shall not become just a statistic. Yea, but you shall become an experience. Yea, and an experience shall become a part of your life. For I shall anoint you with a fresh anointing. Yea, I shall renew the inner man daily. As the old man deteriorates, the inner man will be renewed. Yea, and I shall give unto you eternal life, and you shall never die. Yea, for you shall eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Yea, you shall confess my life, and my life shall be yours, and yours shall be mine, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and you shall live and reign with me eons upon eons, saith the Lord. Yea, no, and I am aware that the evil forces of Satan, yea, are making war against the saints even this moment. But I tell you now, that I shall raise up a company of people, yea, that shall take the authority and have the strength. They shall bind the strong man of the house, yea, and then shall they plunder his goods. I tell you now that I shall not cease to make war against the enemy through my saints until the enemy is no longer capable of making war, of waging war, saith the Lord. For I shall bring you in conquest to victory. Yea, ye shall not be defeated, but you shall go over and not under, for the Lord thou God shall go before thee. Yea, he shall lead thee. Know of a truth that it is not within man to direct his own steps.
Yea, therefore, he must look to another source for his direction. You would be wise indeed if that source should become the Lord in your life, saith God. Yea, and I shall lead thee on. I shall go before thee. Yea, and when thou passest through the waters, it shall not overwhelm thee. Yea, when thou passest through the fire, it shall not burn thee, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I shall surely preserve thee in all thy ways. I shall lead thee in and lead thee out, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, and I shall give thee a word that is a strong and a sure word. Yea, and you shall speak the word of life. Yea, and life shall come where there is only now desolation. The deserts will turn to flower gardens, saith the Lord, thou God. And the Lord of glory shall reign in the midst of thee. Yea, for it is late in the day. You are a people of destiny, not a people of fate, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, a people of destiny. You are the people on whom the ends of the earth, the ends of the world has come, the ends of the cosmos, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, therefore, exploits shall you do. Yea, the works that I do shall you do, until that blessed day, when greater works even shall you do, saith the Lord, thou God. It shall not be by the genius of man, nay, but the cunning of the brilliant, but it shall be by my spirit, saith the Lord. I tell you now, if you will surrender your all to me, if you will submit your ways unto me, I shall lead thee from change to change, from victory to victory, yea, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and ye shall be filled with the wisdom of the Lord. Yea, for know that it is destined that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill all the earth as the waters fills the sea, saith God. Yea, say not in your heart, this calling is too lofty for me. Yea, for I call people from all walks of life, yea, from all vocations, professions, yea, and from all over, and from every nation, from all nations and all tongues. Yea, they shall come and sit down at the feet of the great teacher, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and they shall be taught the way to Zion and the ways of the Lord. Yea, and ye shall be a strong people. Yea, and do great exploits in the presence of your God. Yea, I shall give thee a unity. Yea, a unity in love that cannot be broken. I shall give you a unity of love that the devil, the enemy, cannot penetrate, saith the Lord thou God. He shall in no wise come nigh your dwelling place. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, and the young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I honor him. Yea, and I will satisfy him with long life, will I satisfy him, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. I'm just looking forward to basking in the presence of the Almighty, in the realm of the Shekinah glory, as his voice rings out from the excellent glory of the translation of the Christ. Oh, praise God forever. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke and destroys the fetter. Hallelujah. Amen. It is not, well, praise the Lord. No, you cannot do this by becoming a statistic. You must be one of those that it has happened to, and it has happened with. Yea, then shall life flow out through thee. Yea, and you shall find that the Lord will make a good life for you. Yea, you shall reign here and throughout eternity. For the Lord thou God shall have a vineyard to work in. I tell you now that it shall fall the lot of the elect, the blessed, the manifested sons of God, to police the earth and eradicate the influence of Satan from the presence of the earth until that glorious day when to you shall be presented a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. Well, thank the Lord. I'll go ahead and take up this offering while I'm thinking about it. What should I do? Let you bring your offering?
No. Well, all right. Gentlemen, brethren, whoever, however.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Just go ahead and receive it and we'll.
Glenn always prays over the offering. I'll pray over it before I turn it to Glenn, who has become the priest over this offering since we have collected. We thank you for the offering. I lift it up to the Almighty. Pray, Heavenly Father, I bind this offering over to the kingdom of God. And as we turn it to Brother Glenn, who has become the priest over this offering, will be in authority to dispense it whichever way that he sees fit or feels led by the Spirit of God. We restrict this money to the kingdom of God. May it never return to the outer courts, but always in the inner sanctuary. That it will remain to be spent over and over and over and over, but always in the kingdom of God, as long as we know this monetary system as we know it tonight. In Jesus' name now, we pray and we thank this people. We invoke blessings. May you get a tenfold return for the offering that you have given to the Lord this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're just going to give the rest of the service to the Trotters. You don't have to worry about that clock back there. It's usually not right anyway. It's probably a quarter till seven or something, you know. You can't see it way back there anyway, so don't pay attention to it. And we're going to have them come and sing. And Sister Trotter, I don't know if you want the piano or the organ. The piano, okay? Very good. And just take your liberty and sing and preach and pound and stomp and
just
have a Holy Ghost camp.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can already sense the divine presence in this camp meeting tabernacle tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God forever. I don't feel the least bit strange. Don't have to sit around like a cow staring at a new gate. We feel our hearts already beat one with yours. We are brothers and sisters together. And God has a divine purpose for our gathering together here for these times of service. And I want everything God's got for us. How about you? How many have already sensed the presence of the Master? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land.
I want to say I'm happy to be here tonight. This is my first time at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and we drove onto the grounds. We could feel the power of God. Let me tell you, God has an answer for the hunger of our hearts. For every desire and every hunger that is in there, that's not carnality. Did you know that? That hunger for God's not carnality. Man runs to hide in the bushes. That's right. Adam, where art thou? I'm over here in the bushes. What are you doing over there? Well, the woman which thou hast given to be with me, O Lord, she is to blame.
Oh, my.
Men hiding behind. They used to say hiding behind a woman's skirts. Well, he must have been hiding behind her fig leaf. She didn't have any skirts yet. I said, well, I tell you what, I'd go to church, I'd go out to that Hamilton Bible camp, but I was out there one time and I saw a hypocrite. Well, you must have been walking down the same aisle he was because you're hiding behind him. Praise God. I wouldn't say a thing like that, but I've heard things like that said. Oh, saints of God, regardless of what others are doing, I want to get up to Father's table and receive everything that he has spread out there for us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God's not dead. He's still alive. And he's still moving by his Spirit and power. And the light grows brighter as we see that day dawn and come. Glory to God. And we're so delighted to meet our brother and sister Miller. I, as a small boy, remember her father's name that was spoken so much back in the particular denomination from which we both sprang, from which we sprung, and also our brother Harris. Well, we're glad to meet both our sister and our brother, and when we learned that he had this mishap with the leg, we've been much in prayer, and very frankly, I didn't expect to see him up on his feet, and I was so thrilled to see him come in to the auditorium this afternoon. Ah, we're serving a big God. Serving a big God. And also our brother Harris. Harris. Not Harrison. It's Harris. H-A-R-R-I-S. Brother Harris. And we feel like there's a kinship born of the Holy Spirit already there in our hearts. And Brother Johnson and everyone... We're just looking forward to getting our own cup full to overflowing by the power of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of our God forever. How many believe God can do anything? You meet your need. But the great Pentecostal revival of the turn of the century in Azusa Street came out of a hunger and a desire on the part of a lot of holiness people, Christian Missionary Alliance, Nazarene, Wesleyan Methodist, Save Baptist, what have you. A lot of holiness people got down and said, oh, God, do it for America. America was on her way to hell in a handbasket. The great revival of the Presbyterian Charles Finney had been over for 25 years. And ungodliness and atheism and higher thought and higher criticism and all of the German agnosticism and criticism had seized hold of the Christian church. I'm not talking about a denomination. I mean the body of Christ in America until real holiness was few and far between. And so a great revival broke out on the coal fields of Wales. The great Welsh revival, Christmas Evans and Evan Roberts and some of the other Welsh coal miners, God saved them, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and brought them up out of the shafts of the coal mines. And for 12, 15 years, there was marvelous, glorious revival in Wales until they estimated that over 65% of the Welsh people were hopefully converted. We'd say really born again, honest to God, prayed through and got saved, and thousands of them. We didn't have the doctrine of the second definite work of grace and talking in other tongues as the initial physical evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but they got the baptism by the tens of thousands and talked in tongues all over the place. And so they gathered together and they said, oh God, pour out your Spirit. And as a result, under Charles Parham in Topeka, Kansas, and the little one-legged by faith Bible school, and the girl went out underneath a tree and sought God, and the Bible students gathered together, and the power of God fell on her, and lo and behold, it happened to her exactly as it did in Acts 2, 4, 10:46, and she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues, and within about 6 weeks, not as a result of Charles Parham's preaching, but as a result of the prayers of God's people, God poured out of His Spirit in the West Coast, up in Canada, and in England, and in Singapore, and in Rio de Janeiro, and all over the world, there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God. But what I wanted to say was the great Welsh revival made such an impact on Wales that to this day, the national rugby team and soccer teams of Wales, you know, like everybody stands and sings the Star Spangled Banner at the beginning of our baseball games and football games and basketball games, they have the national anthem in Wales to this day. At their rugby games and at their soccer games, they'll stand and sing in the old Welsh dialect. They don't have it. Modern kids have no more idea what they're singing than the man on the moon. They're a bunch of ungodly, whiskey-drinking, womanizing, unsaved heathen. But the impact of the Welsh revival is so tremendous, they don't just get up and sing, God Save the Queen. They get up and sing, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty, hold me with thy power. I'd like to see a revival in this last decade that God has allowed us to have in this century, to have a revival in the United States of America, where in our football games, they'd stand up and begin to sing Power in the Blood and Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. Hallelujah! Glory to God.
Open wide thou crystal fountain, open wide thou crystal fountain, open wide thou crystal fountain, where the healing waters flow. Open wide thou crystal fountain, where the healing waters flow. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land.
And when I come to the River Jordan, when I come to the River Jordan, when I come to the River Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside, carry me through the swirling current,
let me sail on inside. Well, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Some people have got the idea that if you're really a good Christian and you're really saved, you've got to be sour as a swill barrel to be straight as a gun barrel. That's right. Don't let your face crack into a smile that might break into a thousand pieces. Little city slicker, I hate to admit it, but I don't know much about the country. I mean, I don't even know which cows give buttermilk. That's right. I don't even know which one of those things to pull on to get the chocolate milk. I'm not much, but I remember hearing about a little fellow went out to the country with his father, and this way back in the days before the Fords and tractors and so on, and he stood there in the door of the barn and looked up and saw a mule. And he said, "Oh, Daddy, look at the good Christian." He said, "Why do you say that?" He says, "Because he's got such a long face." That's right. If you're sour and long and mean and you look down at everybody and you certainly don't like little kids and you don't want anybody to say amen or enjoy. It's like the mother, you know, little kid was fidgeting in church. Mother reached over and slapped it on the leg and said, "Sit up and behave yourself. What'd you come to church for, to enjoy yourself?" And some people got that idea. Can't come to church to enjoy yourself. And I don't believe in putting on a burlesque. Don't believe in putting on a mockery. Don't believe in putting on a lot of third-rate, hyped-up Pentecostal cheerleading. Somebody said, "Brother Trotter, when are you going to quit being a Pentecostal cheerleader?" I said, "When they do it spontaneously. When I no longer have to lead them in the cheering, and they just do it without me having to lead them. Then I'll quit being a Pentecostal cheerleader." But, oh, child of God, it is true. We're here at camp meeting now. We're at nobody's church. I like what Sister... I don't know how informal. See, this is my first night. I'll still call her Sister Miller. Tomorrow, it'll be Sister Irma. Praise God. But tonight, I'll be on my best behavior. But I like what she said. That wasn't just to be psychologically cute. She means that. We're not here in some formal church. We're here to touch the hem of His garment. We're here to let God come down and be real in our hearts and lives. We're here to really to have the operation and the freedom of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. I don't have to shout at you. The Holy Spirit may lay you out flat on the floor. The Holy Spirit may have you sit in that chair and weep like you think your emotions are a fountain, a river of tears. The Holy Spirit may surprise some of you and rejuvenate you, and you'll dance like a schoolgirl or a schoolboy all over this auditorium under the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. This I know, that the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Glory to God. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
And the Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
And set your heart to dancing too.
I know the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Well, the Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through.
I know the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
And set your heart to dancing too.
Well, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Yes, He will.
Well, the Holy Ghost will thrill you through and thrill you through and through.
I know the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
And set your heart to dancing too.
When David danced before the Lord, he danced with all his might. Well, the ark of God had been restored, 'twas precious in his sight. Michal despised him in her heart, and to criticize did start. She didn't know that David had got a dancing heart.
But the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Well, the Holy Ghost will thrill you through and thrill you through and through.
I know the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
And set your heart to dancing too.
How many believe that tonight? You believe that tonight? Hallelujah.
Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Well, the Holy Ghost will fill you through and through.
I know the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
And set your heart to dancing too.
Oh, David danced before the Lord to magnify his name. In the presence of Almighty God, he felt no sense of shame. The oil of gladness flowed that day to quicken every part. He hadn't only dancing feet, he got a dancing heart.
And the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Yes, He will.
Well, the Holy Ghost will
thrill you through and thrill you through and through.
The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing
and set your heart to dancing too.
When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt's land, the waters of the great Red Sea did part at God's command. Old Pharaoh and his army drowned when God withdrew his hand. And Miriam played her tambourine as she danced upon the sand.
And the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Well, the Holy Ghost will thrill you through and thrill you through and through.
I know the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing
and set your heart to dancing too.
Well, in the Bible we are told that in the latter days men would leave their first love and turn to carnal ways. But true-born sons of Jesus, by the bridegroom set apart, are waiting for His coming with a joyful dancing heart.
And the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing.
Well, the Holy Ghost will thrill you through and through.
The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing
and set your heart to dancing too.
How many of you have ever heard the Cameron singers? Yeah, you know the kind, you know, Turner, Roy Turner, he wrote that. Yeah, and I used to have them come and sing for me in churches where I pastor. They come in their kilties, and they all sing in unison. You know, they don't sing in parts. They all stand and sing in unison. Oh, the power of God used to fall, and we had a big time. Well, I bought their record, and I got this song off their record. But I loaned the record to somebody, and they never returned it. And I couldn't think of the last verse. And I was down there, oh, Lord, I'd like the last verse. And so the Lord gave me a verse. And don't you tell Roy Turner that I think my verse is as good as his verse. Amen. When all of life is over, and we see our Savior's face, we'll sing redemption's story, how he saved us by his grace. And the saints throughout the ages all are gathered home. We'll laugh and sing and shout and dance around the Father's throne. For the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. For the Holy Ghost will take you through and take you through and through. I know the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing and set your heart to dancing too. God, you may be seated. God bless you. They will. Oh, you know them. Ah, oh, glory to God in the land forever. From Scotland. From Bonnie, Scotland. Oh, yeah, do they still wear their kilties? Sometimes. Well, that's good. Praise God. You remember me too, then. I imagine some of them are getting old enough to vote next election. Praise God. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Well, I like coming home then. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. I hate to ask you to do this, but would somebody get me a glass of water, please? After all the water we've had over in the Dallas area and all of the water you've had around here. But I'm going to take Sister at her word. I presume most of you, does anybody have to drive home and go to work in the morning? I'll take pity on you. Yeah, there's one or two. I will take pity on you. God love your heart. At around 1:30 in the morning, if you have to be excused, just go out quietly and we'll understand. But I feel that God has quickened a thought to my heart. I don't know exactly what the schedule is. I like it to be an old, I shouldn't say old-fashioned, right up-to-date new fashion, 1990, being led by the Holy Spirit and being directed by God and for God. Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So I asked God, I sought God very earnestly, didn't make a game out of it, didn't make a joke out of it, sought God very earnestly as to what I should speak upon. He knew exactly who was going to be here tonight and who's going to be here tomorrow and Saturday and the great closing service on Sunday. And I felt my mind shut up to this. Now I reasoned with the Lord thusly. I said, Lord, they've had great Bible teachers there at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I would like to impress some of them with my great theological acumen. And I said, furthermore, Sister Miller remembers my father. And my dad was recognized as one of the greatest Bible teachers in Pentecost of a bygone generation. He slipped off to glory about 7 years ago at 80 years of age. He went home to glory at 2:00 on a Thursday afternoon. He was scheduled to preach twice the following Sunday in Joplin, Missouri. I mean, you know, he did not retire. He had just preached the preceding Sunday morning, had stepped off the plane in Dallas to see my uncle, H.B. Garlock, who has since gone on to glory, but at that time was in the Central Methodist Hospital, and he had a heart attack. I took him to the hospital at 4:00 on a Wednesday afternoon, and at 2:00 on Thursday afternoon, he slipped off into the presence of the Lord. But he was a great Bible teacher. So I said, Lord, give me something whereby I may display my intelligence and my brilliance. And the Lord said, what intelligence and what brilliance? But no, he said, you will give the people what I give you, or I'm not going to let you go. And I said, Lord, I want to go. So he said, all right, if you go, you've got to preach what I give you to preach. So I'm not trying to impress anybody. We've already heard these eloquent men of the Word of God. I haven't heard Brother and Sister Moody yet, and are the doctor, the pediatrician, but I'm sure that they are skilled and able prayer leaders and deliverance leaders. We're not here to play games. We're here to make do business for Jesus and do business for God and the kingdom of God. But I feel that God has shut my mind up to a thought. For tonight, at least, to the 24th Psalm. The way these preachers were jumping around in the Psalms, I was holding my breath there for a minute. But They didn't land on the one God impressed to me, and if they had, if it had been all right, for the Holy Spirit doeth all things well. Hallelujah. You might want to just keep your finger in it and just continue to follow right along with me. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he have founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto frivolity or vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Or as some translations have it, and the New King James translation says, O Jacob, this is Jacob, the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Father God, add now thy benediction and blessing to the reading and the comments upon thy holy word. Touch lips of clay. I pray that, O God, that which has already touched us of divine fire in this service tonight shall be crowned with thy perfect manifestation and will for each one of our hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for it. For your holy name's sake, we ask it. And everybody said, now the earth is the Lord's. The earth does not belong to the devil. I know he's the prince of the power of the air, and he's the god, little g, of this earth. But the devil is not in control. God Almighty is still in control. I don't always know why he does what he does, but then I'm not as smart as he is. But I believe this with all my heart. We have naught to fear. When we keep our hand in the nail-pierced hand of the Son of God, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. You see, he has a double claim upon us. I said he has a double claim upon us. He made us, and he redeemed us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You remember the story of the little boy lived out on the farm. Some of you are old enough to remember the farm. That's the place where they have the cows and the chickens and the pigs and the soybeans and the wheat and the cotton and the potatoes and everything. And it actually does not come out in the field in the cans. I mean, you know, they have to process it before it gets there. And so the little child is watching a cow being milked and says, isn't that ghastly? I get my milk out of a carton in the Safeway. You know, and so a lot of people don't understand that. But back in those days, the little boy, they didn't have much money. And so he got him a piece of wood, and he whittled and whittled and whittled until he had made a beautiful boat. And he got some doweling and made a mast and made a foremast and an aft mast. And his mother gave him some old worn out sheeting, bed sheet, and hemmed it for him. And he was able to attach it to the mast on his boat. And one day he was out in the little creek and was floating it down, and the string broke. And away it went underneath a barbed wire fence, and he ran and tried to catch it. But the stream was running so swiftly that it swiftly went around the bend, and his boat was gone. He was heartbroken and crestfallen. And to kind of make it up to him, he just was so morose and couldn't seem to get over it. His father took pity on him and said, look, next Saturday is the day that once a month I go into town, hitch up the team and go into town and buy the 20-pound sack of flour and the 5 pounds of sugar and what have you. And why don't you come into town with me? And all that kind of brightened the boy's countenance. Said he wasn't euphoric and hilarious, but he kind of was feeling better about that. And so they went into town, and while his father was talking to the owner of the feed store, he said, "Daddy, can I walk down the side of the board walk, the board sidewalk?" And his dad said, "Yes." And so the boy went skipping off down the boardwalk, and he came to a store in the window of which he looked, and his eyes got as big as saucers, for there he saw his little boat. And he went inside and said, "Oh, mister," little fellow standing there in front of the glass counter, said, "Oh, mister, give me my boat." And the owner of the store said, "Your boat?" He said, "Oh, yes, I made that boat. I worked so hard on it, and that's my boat, and it slipped away from me in the string boat, and I lost my boat, and give me my boat." And the man said, "Look, son, I don't know about that, but yesterday afternoon, one of the bigger boys in town came in and asked me what I would give him for that, and so I bought that from him. I can't let that go without making a profit on it. I can't just give it to you. I've got to get my investment back." And he said, "How much do you want for it?" The man said, "Well, I think maybe I'll take 50 cents for it." "Well, that doesn't sound like much money now, but back then you could get 3 loaves a day old bread for a dime. You know, a quart of milk was 7 cents, and a gallon of gas was 12 cents. So, I mean, 50 cents was a lot of money." And can't you hear your father saying, "Money doesn't grow on trees. What do you think I am, made out of money?" And so the little kid walked back down to the feed store, and in fear and trembling, he pulled on his dad's coverall pocket and said, "Daddy." "Yes, what is it, son?" "Give me 50 cents. 50 cents? Oh, what do you think it is, your birthday? I can't give you 50 cents. Why, 50 cents, you need to know the value of a dollar." He said, "But, Daddy, I have found my boat." "And, Daddy, the man says I can't have my boat back unless I give him 50 cents. And that big old New England farmer's heart was touched with compassion for his little boy. And though it was a sacrifice, he reached in his pocket and pulled out a 50-cent piece and gave it to the lad. And the little boy ran down the street, went back in and took the 50 cents, slapped it on the glass counter and said, "There you go, give me my boat." And the man got the boat out of the window and handed it to the lad. He hugged it to his bosom and ran out of the store. And as he went through the doorway, a man coming in heard the little boy say, "You're twice mine. You're twice mine. First I made you, and now I bought you. You're twice mine." Let me tell you, my brother, we were lost. We were on our way to eternal darkness. And he who made us gave everything that he had for his son Jesus on Calvary's cross. And now we are twice his. He not only made us, he has bought us. He has purchased us with his own blood on Calvary's tree. Hallelujah! The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now, I'm not going to deal with archaeological and paleontological antiquity. I'm not going to try to take you back and argue Darwinian evolution or whether we spun off as a clump of gas from the sun or whether we are an amalgam of ices and debris that was belched forth from some far galaxy and some far distant corner of the universe. I don't want to waste your time, and it's all speculation. Were you there? I wasn't there. I don't know exactly how God brought it into being. I know this, that he spake the universe into being. He stood upon the balconies of heaven and flung from his fingers the spiral nebulae. And all that is, God created. And he caused it to be established and founded. It is not happenstance. It did not just come into being. Oh, but Brother Trotter, don't you believe that between the first verses and the second verses of Genesis that there's room for evolution? No, sir. No, don't believe it a minute. You don't? No, don't believe it a minute. You can't show me one species that is yet in the change between one species and the other. You can show me adaption. You can show me survival of the fittest, but you cannot show me any kind that is not reproducing after its own kind. God said it, and God set the boundaries. Oh, I know. I believe it or not, I may not talk like it or act like it, but I have been to enough school. At least I was exposed to it. Sister Trotter says it was sort of like your smallpox vaccination. Not very much of it took, you know. But I remember when I was a kid in school, we got smallpox vaccination. And the nurse took a needle and made a little scratch mark on your arm and rubbed the stuff in. Nothing happened on me. So they said, hey, Trotter, let me see yours. Well, I didn't have any. And so the nurse said, I'll fix you. And she took a single-edge razor blade and she cut a tic-tac-toe mark on my hand, took the needle and dipped it in the gunk and scratched it in there and said, you'll have a reaction to that. And the only thing I had a reaction to was the cut of the razor blade. Fortunately, I'm one of those odd birds that I am not susceptible to smallpox, or haven't been in the past. I'm not making any boast, Lord. Don't tempt me, Lord. I'm not tempting you, but I do not have, so I don't even have a scar on my arm, and I've been vaccinated. Before I could go to Africa in 1949, I had to be vaccinated again, and then when we went to Mexico, we went down to Mexico, and you still had to be vaccinated to get back in. You don't have to now, but you did back in the days that we did. I've been vaccinated 4 times, and none of them ever took. My wife says, that's just like your education. You were there. You were exposed. Not very much of it took. But I've heard the stories. I know it was all one great primordial slime and swamp. And there was DNA, chemical reaction. And it began to react one with the other. And all of a sudden, poof, there was a little one-celled organism, a little protozoa, a little amoeba floating around there in this soup. All of this gunk, these minerals, and all of this hydrocarbon, and they're floating around in this swampy soup slime, and it floated around there for several million years, and after a while it floated up to the surface, and it laid there for a couple of million years until it got a sunburn. And the sunburn so irritated it that it began to multiply. Just all of a sudden, bang, 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 began to multiply, divide, and multiply. And then it floated around until it got another sunburn. And that turned into a little wart. And after a couple of 100 million years, that wart turned into an eye. And then it flipped over on the other side and got a sunburn on the other side, and that turned into another eye after several 100 million more years. And then it flipped, and another one, there's another little wart and a little pug nose. Of course, I've seen a few Irishmen, I wouldn't die, I mean, you know, but I that little pug nose came into being, and then a mouth, and then a tail, and then flippers, and then fins. By this time, enough evaporation had taken place that there's a beach. And it just magically, after a few 100 million years, flopped up to the beach, came out on the beach, and there it laid until the flippers became legs, and the fins became, you know, arms. And it, by this time there was a tree, and it got up and ran over to the tree, and it had another sunburn, and that turned into a tail. And he scrambled up the tree, went out on the limb of the tree, hung by his tail. The tail fell off. He fell on his head, and up got man and walked off. That's right. Let me tell you, believe that kind of a fairy story comic book, you'll believe in the Bartons. That's right. You'll believe in the Simpsons. I mean, you'll believe in Bart Simpson. My brother, sister, dear, believe it if you want. I'm not even going to try to argue with you. I believe the word of God, that God reached down, scooped up a mound of mud, and fashioned and formed man in his own image, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Hallelujah. God is in charge. God made us, and God created us, and God situated it, and he knows all about the situation and the struggle and the trial and the conflict that you're in tonight. God has not forgotten your number. God has not forgotten your number. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. And all they that dwell therein are his because of right of creation and purchase. Just 3 Sundays ago, I was dedicating the largest Protestant church in 40 miles outside of Cincinnati in a town called Williamsburg. Small town, but it's a county seat. And there are little towns. It's like the hub of a wheel. And there are little towns all around it. Church runs about 1,200, 1,300 people, which is outstanding for a town that only has 2,000 people in it. But they drive in. They're not all just from that town. They drive in. And the pastor of that church, when I had never met him, or if I had met him and shook hands with him, I'd forgotten who he was, talked to him on the phone several times, and every time I talked to him, he'd say, Brother Trotter, tell me, What do you think about Jesus? First time he said it, I thought, you know, this guy's a little funny. Brother Trotter, what do you think about Jesus? Well, I think he's all right. Yes, I think he's all right. What do you mean? Well, I just want to know what you think about Jesus on his answering machine at the church. Hello, this is Williamsburg Pentecostal Church. What do you think about Jesus? I thought, my, what kind of a flake is this? You know, what an oddball way. I've heard him say the church with love, the church in the heart of the city with the city at heart, you know, and I've heard all kinds of slogans. Well, what kind of a slogan is that? And got off the plane. Here I'm walking down, and I have all kinds of dignity. They all know I'm a preacher. I've been testifying to people, the stewardesses, the flight attendants, and I'm coming down. He sees me from here to the back of the auditorium tonight. He hollers out, "Hey, Brother Trotter, what do you think about Jesus?" I don't know, man, what a way to get started in a meeting, you know. But let me tell you something. He began to tell me his testimony. His mother was a woman of the streets. He was one of nine children, no two of which had the same father. He had no idea who his father was. He had become an alcoholic by the time he was 16 years of age. He had learned a trade of meat cutting. That's not a butcher in a kill floor. That is a meat cutter in a Kroger supermarket. And he walked in 31 years of age. Full of the devil. His wife, he had met her in a bar somewhere. They lived like dogs. You talking about dogs? They lived like animals. Didn't know anything about God. She was a backslidden Pentecostal girl, raised in a Pentecostal family, had backslidden when she was 12 or 13 years of age and went out and partied around and married this reprobate. Didn't know anything about God. Literally did not know anything about God. No more about God than a jackrabbit. I'm talking about an all they that dwell therein. All they that dwell therein. Oh, the devil's got him. Yeah, the devil thinks he has him. He's got a chokehold on him. But let me tell you, the devil doesn't own him. Jesus Christ owns them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excuse me for getting excited before you even have a chance to know me. Really, I've not taken leave of my senses. I can be real calm like my brother here, but I just feel like I stuck my finger in a live socket, and it's awful hard for me to be calm like that there tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So, he said that he went in 31 years of age, able to sober up enough to be a meat cutter 5 or 6 hours a day. There was an old man worked for the same store in those stores. Let me explain a minute. I'm not going to take forever. See some of you nodding off. Wake up. Come on. Wake up. Breathe deep. Stay with me. Back in the meat department is not owned by Kroger's. It is franchised out. See, it is part of Kroger, but it is franchised out. And a man who worked for the meat department, this particular Kroger's, he himself was an old reprobate. And so Pastor Jerry, he said that he went into work. He'd only been there about 3 days. And he said he used to just love to tell the dirtiest, filthiest, rottenest stories that he had picked up in the bar the night before. He'd just regale everybody that came and everybody that listened to him. And said he was back there cutting meat, getting ready for the store to open. And he was telling this other old codger this filthy, dirty, rotten story. And his boss, the guy that owned that franchise, came in. He didn't know it, but he was an FBGMFI man. He was a businessman that had gotten saved somehow and gotten the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God cleaned him up and put his act together. And he came up in the back of Jerry and slapped him on the shoulder and said, "Listen, mister, I don't run that kind of an operation. And you're not going to tell those kind of stories on company time or in here. And if you don't clean up your talk and quit talking that way, you can hit the door and get out now." Jerry had 31 years of age. He was scared half to death. His boss was about 40, 45 years of age. Said about 2 days later, the boss said, "Hey, Jerry, at lunchtime, I want to take you out for lunch." Took him out to a real nice restaurant, sat him down, looked him right in the eye, and said, "Jerry, why don't you get saved and get your act together?" He said it so scared him and shocked him, he couldn't even eat his lunch. He got up. The only person that he knew that knew anything about church or God was his grandmother. His mother, the prostitute, her mother She was a church member, didn't know anything about salvation herself. But he ran, he left job, he excused himself, got in the car, and drove over to his grandmother's house and said, "Grandmother, I'm scared, I don't know what to do." She said, "What is it, Jerry?" Said, "My boss told me I need to get saved and get my act together. Do you know what he meant?" She said, "No, I have no idea what he meant. But I'll tell you what, if it makes you feel that way, that you ought to get your act together, I suggest you go back and ask him." And in just a few days' time, that boss took Jerry to an FBGMFI breakfast, and Jerry got marvelously saved. And a few weeks later, got into a Pentecostal church and was filled with the Holy Ghost and changed and transformed. His wife prayed through, the kids are all saved and full of the Holy Ghost and gone on with God. And in 19 years, he went in there starting with 11 people and now has a congregation of 1,300 people in Williamsburg, Ohio. And my brother, he told me that made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And when he said, "Brother Trotter, what do you think about Jesus?" I broke down and began to bawl. And I said, "Pastor Jerry, he's all right. Hallelujah. He's all right." "What are you getting at, Brother Trotter?" "I'm getting at this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein." Yeah, but not my drunken neighbor. Not my kids that are off smoking pot and taking pills and smoking crack and bound by the powers of darkness. Not my brother or sister that are bound by demonic influence and power. They try, they go to the altar and they cry and pray, but they can't seem to get deliverance. And I guess there's no hope for them. I want you to know tonight, my brother, sister, there is hope. There is hope. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell therein. Oh, don't you love him? What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? Glory to God. All right, he founded it. Not happenstance and law of probabilities and chance. He hath founded it. God hath founded it. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Not just get up there once in a while. Not just ascend and barely make it up to the top of the escalator and then come right back down again. You know, say, can I let my curls down and just talk to you like I've known you a long time? Saints, I have observed. I was talking about cutting your eye teeth in Pentecost.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.